A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yevamos Pei Zayin, Yevamos 87b, pagination is 174. Starting at the middle of the page, the new perek. Ha'isha, we have a woman under discussion. Shehalach Baila L'medinas Hayom, her husband has gone to a far-off country. Uva'u, and people came, va'amru la, and told her, Meis Bailach, your husband's dead. Venises, and she got married based on that information to a new man. Va'achakach ba'baila, and then her husband comes, very much alive, and she realizes that a terrible mistake has occurred. The ramifications are very serious, because this is a case of Eshes Ish, a married woman that was with a different man, even though it was not intentional Shezinsa, acting immorally. Nevertheless, the facts are that she was living with a different man while she was married. Teitze mize umize, the rule is that she has to get divorced from both of them, tzricha get mize umize, and she has to be separated from both of them. This case is essentially the case of aguna, which means a woman who's tied, connected, or is waiting. She can't move on with her life because she's married to a man who has disappeared. That case of aguna, we find the statement in Tanakh, in the book of Rus, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, Halohen te agena, are you going to remain connected, waiting to your husbands? Now, Naomi was referring to the fact that the husbands were already dead, and out of emotional connection and loyalty, Rus and Orpah were remaining connected to Naomi. But in the classic case of aguna that we deal with, Rachmana Litzlan, the husband is gone, but we have to still assume that he's very much alive. And the most painful cases, perhaps, are the cases where we have indications that he's no longer alive, but not enough proof to definitively allow her to marry. And the reason for the concern is exactly what's being described over here, that if it turns out that we were wrong in our assumption that the husband is dead, then we have a tremendous tragedy. We have a case of an Eshes Ish, a married woman, acting improperly, albeit unknowingly. We have a case where when the husband does show up, she's going to have to be removed from both men. And we also have the ramification described a line later in the Mishnah, Vahavlad Mamzer Mizeh Umizeh. And the child is stigmatized regardless from which husband, if they were doing this after this tragic incident occurred. So from the first and real husband, so that would be a mamzer d'rabbanon, because he's really the husband. So that's only rabbinically a mamzer. But from the man who's been with her, who thought he was a legitimate husband, that certainly is the regular case of mamzer. A child produced from that would not be able to marry into the regular Jewish people and would have restrictions, certainly totally Jewish, but restrictions within the Jewish community. At the end of the next line, the Mishnah tells us, Hasabas Yisrael, if she was the child of a regular Jewish family, not particularly Kohen Levi, whatever, normally she would at least be able to marry into a family of Kohanim. But after this incident, Nifsala Menakuhuna, she has been invalidated from marrying into a Kohen family because she has been niveles la'asur la. She's been intimate with someone who is forbidden to her, and therefore she would no longer be able to marry a Kohen. Ubas Levi min ha-Maiser, if she was the daughter of a Levi, she can't simply go back to her father's home and now eat Maiser again. She has been defiled from this incident. Ubas Kohen min ha-Teruma, and likewise, the daughter of a Kohen would not be able to eat Teruma. Now this line that we just did, the cases of the daughter of a Yisrael, the daughter of a Levi, the daughter of a Kohen, on one level, certainly is simply a legal statement, and it's coming down hard. She's been defiled. On the other hand, there is a point of inspiration here. After she's shattered and certainly needs tshuva, and this is a terrible thing that happened, but ultimately, the Shaila will come up. Who can she marry now? Because there is life after this terrible incident. And the question, can she marry into a Kohen family, is responded to by saying, no, she can't. She's a chalola. But certainly she could remarry afterwards, but she cannot be with the husband or with the man who thought he was the second and a legitimate husband. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Yud Zayin in Evan Ezer, which is dedicated to this topic, begins the chapter by saying, Eshes Ish Bechlal Ho'arayos, a married woman is a forbidden relationship to other men. Ve'ein Kiddushin Tofsin Bo, and it's a high-level prohibition to the point that the second man's Kiddushin, his entire attempt to marry her, simply will not work. And that's exactly what we're dealing with over here. She remains married, certainly to the first husband, but we come down very hard. Tzricha get mize o mize. Both men have to give her a get. Both men would produce a mamzer if they're with her. If the original husband comes back and tries to be with her, there would be mamzer midrabanan in that case. And the Mishnah also states that if the husband passes away, either one, we're going to require a chalitza from each, and yibum would not be allowed with either set of brothers. Now, I mentioned that this is really the consideration when we deal with cases, Rahmana Litzlan, of aguna, where a woman is married and she's unclear whether her husband is still alive or not. We cannot simply allow her to remarry based on assumptions. Well, if he was alive, he would have come back. We need something tangible in order to allow her to remarry. And when we do allow her to remarry, it's with tremendous confidence that Hashem would grant the siyata d'shmaya necessary for the posek who issues that ruling, that he should be correct in his ruling. There's a classic story about Reb Moshe Feinstein, who himself personally allowed many, many women to remarry after the Holocaust based on different pieces of information that the husband was dead, even though he didn't have straightforward testimony that the husband was dead. But if the husband was in a group, that everybody of that group was killed, sometimes those types of things can be taken into consideration. In more recent times, we had this case that if a man was in the towers on 9/11, when the Twin Towers fell, and he was on a certain floor, and we could verify that, that may be enough information to prove that he's dead, even though we don't have true testimony to that effect. But a woman approached Reb Moshe Feinstein in tears, saying that shortly after the war, she received a heter, an allowance from a certain rabbi, to allow her to get married with the assumption that her husband was dead. And now she's just gotten word that her husband, original husband, had lived through the Holocaust and relocated to a different part of the world. And the result, if this information is true, is that she's been with her new man illicitly, and the children of their beautiful family are actually mamzerim, very, very serious. They say that Reb Moshe made her repeat her story again and again and again as he listened intently. And eventually she broke down and admitted that the heter that she claimed that Rabbi had given her after the Holocaust never really happened. She made it up. She claimed that a great rabbi had given her a heter, and it didn't ever happen. And they asked Reb Moshe, who was normally so sensitive to the cases of Agunos, why he insisted and how he knew to make her repeat the story again and again. And Reb Moshe said it didn't make any sense that the rabbi she was quoting, who was a rabbi of tremendous stature, would actually have made a mistake. He said the amount of siyata deshmaya that Hashem grants, heavenly help, to make such rulings accurate is so significant. He said, I myself have allowed many, many agunos to remarry, and I was never mistaken. Never turned out that the husband was really alive. And therefore, when he heard that this great rabbi was claimed to have made a mistake, turns out the husband really is alive, he said it didn't make sense. And by simply having her repeat the story, she eventually broke down and admitted that she had made up the story. Hashem should protect us. Everyone should have a happy and healthy married life. Have a wonderful day.